Hello, Marion Pallister, Justice and Peace Scotland Vice Chair here. I don't know how the weather has been with you this month. Here in the Diocese of Argyll and the Isles, we seem to have swung wildly between picturesque autumnal scenes with snow on the hills offering a hint of winter to come, and tempests that hurled hailstones down on the unsuspecting and brought the cat in clamouring for a shot in the spin cycle. Those of us with a roof over our heads will no doubt survive, and we're hoping that a reprint of our parish's Justice and Peace Fuel Poverty leaflet may help. But did you see that picture of the 49 pairs of shoes placed on the steps of Glasgow's concert hall? Each pair represented a homeless person who had died in the past year. One of the most moving images I've seen in a very long time. I was homeless, and you didn't invite me in. Our Justice and Peace group donates warm clothes and sleeping bags to organisations supporting the homeless, such as the Simon Community and more local charities. But that photograph brought it home that it isn't just about trying to insulate street sleepers against the weather. It's about making them feel valued, respected, worthy of their place in society, insulated against the violence and aggression that strips them of any feeling of self-worth. In a month of remembrance, it's a timely reminder that some of those 49 homeless people who have died in the past 12 months would have been former members of the armed forces. Perhaps only their immediate families would remember them as the poppy wreaths were laid. Perhaps immediate families know only that their loved one is missing after the action is over. Not that his wreath is a pair of empty shoes on a city step. People from every walk of life end up on the streets, sleeping rough. And among them are those who have fled to save their families from conflict, torture and every kind of injustice. If 49 empty pairs of shoes are chilling, what about this for a name of an organisation in 2019 in what we're told is one of the world's richest countries, Glasgow Night Shelter for Destitute Asylum Seekers. Not only has the Westminster government's hostile policies towards refugees and asylum seekers presented people who have fled from the world's troubled places with a really hard system to crack, it's left to cash-strapped charities and faith groups to reach out the helping hand before they become nothing more than a pair of empty shoes. Destitute asylum seekers, I sought asylum and you turned me away. I can't imagine having left the bombs and bullets of Afghanistan or Syria, finding my way with the minimum of possessions and the clothes I stood up in to what I'd imagined would be a place of safety, only to find so many hoops to jump through, such long distances I'm expected to travel to deliver documents or be interviewed, such stringent rules that say I can't work and use my skills. And if you can't work, it doesn't take long to become destitute, to lose your pride, to sink into depression. There's a lady called Annika Joy who works at the Glasgow Night Shelter, and now, with a grant from the National Lotteries Community Fund, she's been appointed director of a project that will attempt to transfer accommodation away from the night shelter, what they're calling more normal homelessness provision. This can only be done by developing partnerships with organisations such as the Simon Community, Social Bite and the Scottish Network for Homelessness, as well as housing associations, local authorities and faith groups. Around 150 men, the women have different accommodation requirements, need somewhere that puts a roof over their heads, allows them the dignity of a shower, the comfort of food in their bellies. But that's all in the planning stage, and right now, all that the night shelter for destitute asylum seekers needs is more volunteers, more help. And of course, long before the dissolution of Parliament, the Westminster government put eviction of failed asylum seekers on its agenda. In November, we have seen continued battles in the courts in Scotland to prevent such evictions, adding to the current problem, not to mention adding to the distress and destitution of so many more vulnerable people. Justice and Peace Scotland is a campaigning organisation, and we hope that in parish justice and peace groups around the country, people are adding their names to petitions and adding their warm clothes and sleeping bags to their donations to organisations working to support refugees, asylum seekers and homeless people in their own areas and indeed in the central belt where the biggest problems lie. Justice and Peace's Grace Buckley and Frances Gallagher have been working with the Glasgow Asylum Destitution Action Network, known as GLADAN, and Justice and Peace commissioners from each diocese in Scotland have been asked to seek an audit of church property that might meet the needs of some of those destitute people who must by now be living on their last ounce of courage, their last breath of hope. Of course, not all possible properties are going to be suitable. That's a given. In the kind of rural areas we have in Argyll and the Isles and in Aberdeen and Galloway and in Dunkeld, some properties would be too remote and isolating for refugees and asylum seekers. They may, however, be just right for other people who are homeless or for those seeking asylum from a very different kind of threatening situation, such as domestic violence. Already some properties have been identified and the nitty-gritty of tenancy and so on are being worked out. So it's a start. And we're not dancing in the dark on this one. Pope Francis gave us a guiding light earlier this year in his message for the World Day of Migrants and Refugees, which was commemorated on September the 29th. If we're thinking that this is a new phenomenon, it's worth noting that September the 29th was the 105th World Day of Migrants and Refugees. Maybe it's time we started to get something right. The Vatican has a migrants and refugees section, and the staff there said in the spring of this year that it isn't just about migrants. And I think I understand what's implied in that. When I see women sitting on the ground begging outside the pound shop in Glasgow's Argyll Street, it isn't just their human dignity that is in question. Mine is too, if I don't respond in a respectful and caring way. If I see an elderly man holding out his plastic cup for donations, weeping in his shame at having fallen from who knows what heights, I must share in that shame as part of a society that allows there to be an organisation called the Night Shelter for Destitute Asylum Seekers. In his message for that World Day of Migrants and Refugees, Pope Francis reflected on how we can all build the City of God if we welcome, protect, promote and integrate those seeking a better life. He said, "It's not just about them, but about all of us, and about the present and future of the human family." That's a pretty big responsibility. But the way Pope Francis explained it, it isn't such a big deal. He said, when we show concern for them, we also show concern for ourselves, for everyone. In taking care of them, we all grow. In listening to them, we also give voice to a part of ourselves that we may keep hidden, because it's not well regarded nowadays. In the past 3 years, Brexit, I'm sorry to introduce the word, has thrown up pockets of xenophobia around the UK. People afraid for their jobs, for their way of life, have spoken out bitterly about the number of refugees, migrants and asylum seekers they believe have moved in as a result of European legislation. Now, I'm not going to argue on that one or even produce figures to support one viewpoint or another in these days so close to the general election. I would just say 'twas ever thus. Every successive influx of people from other countries has scared folk until they found themselves sitting in the next desk at school, working on the same job, buying the tasty food they made, and taking advantage of the open all-hours shopping offered by enterprising and hard-working new neighbours. Pope Francis admitted that sometimes fears are legitimate, but he added that they become an obstacle when they condition our way of thinking and acting to the point of making us intolerant, closed, and perhaps even, without realising it, racist. Fear, he added, keeps us from encountering the Lord in another person. He has urged us to be compassionate towards our shared humanity, because through works of charity and humanity, we demonstrate our faith. Let's face it, we don't want to see even one pair of empty shoes, let alone 49, and whether the feet that once occupied those empty shoes took their first steps in Deniston or Damascus doesn't matter one jot. They belonged to our brothers, and those brothers were marginalised, ostracised and stripped of their humanity. Pope Francis says, the highest form of charity is that shown to those unable to reciprocate and perhaps even to thank us in return. He asks us to recognise suffering in another person and to take action to heal and save them, whoever they are. He says, to be compassionate means to make room for that tenderness which today's society so often asks us to repress. Justice and Peace Scotland is a commission of the Scottish Bishops Conference. Its work is for all of us, in Pope Francis' words, to help build a more just society, a more perfect democracy, a more united country, a more fraternal world, and a more open and evangelical Christian community. I wonder if you'll join me in this prayer from the Baptist community in Australia, a country full of migrants and refugees and asylum seekers. And it echoes all that we know affects asylum seekers in Scotland. Loving God, we thank you for those asylum seekers living in our country, each one an extraordinary and precious human being created in your image, gifted by your Spirit and sought out by your Son. We are thankful for the unique ways each will enrich and bless our nation. May they find healing from the trauma they've experienced. May they find community in which they are welcome, loved and valued. May they find employment and opportunities to contribute. May they find the redeeming love of Christ. We pray for their families in the countries from which they have fled, as they navigate life without a father, husband, mother, wife, child. Grant them communities that will support, encourage and sustain them. We pray for peace and freedom in their home countries. We pray for our political leaders. May their hearts and ours be filled with compassion for those on temporary visas and those waiting for their refugee claims to be assessed. May our policies be grounded in love rather than fear, in recognition of our common humanity. Amen. Migrants, refugees, asylum seekers, the homeless, all are our brothers and sisters. As the temperature plummets, let's not just pray for them, but act for them in whatever way that we can. We don't want to see one pair of shoes as an art exhibition, people who have died because of our inhumanity. Thank you so much for listening.